Radio.
Good morning, friends and neighbors, and welcome to another edition of Study His Word Radio. I'm Pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman, and it's a pleasure to have you here this morning on this snowy Sunday morning. I guess it's the second Sunday in November, and many times we've had our first snow flurries long before this, but they're here this morning. I guess it's supposed to get us more in the Thanksgiving mood or the Christmas mood now that we have some snow flying around. I'm going to have a special guest this morning. He's going to be arriving here in a few moments. So in the meantime, I'll take care of some business. First of all, you can hear any of our archived shows by going to the station's website, wwgh1071.com. Or you can go to our page, which is studyhiswordradio.org, and from there you can click on the archive. There's a link for the archive page, and it'll take you to the stations. Also on our website, you can contact us and send in Bible questions, send in comments on any of our previous studies that we've had. You can send us a message, send us a prayer request. Also, too, you can request CDs of any of our Bible studies. We do provide the CDs at no cost to you, so they are available. Any of the studies we've done in the past are available, and it's the Bible study only. It won't be a recording of the whole show. It's just the Bible study portion of the show, but those are also available. So in the minutes that we have available before my guest comes, I'd like to cover some things that have been in the news lately. I don't know if you've heard about this, about the 7 missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti. That happened, that was about a month ago. And the latest update is that at least some of the 17 missionaries kidnapped in Haiti are still alive, a Biden official claims. According to a senior Biden administration official, at least some of the 17 American and Canadian missionaries who were abducted in mid-October by the 400 Mawuzu gang in Haiti have been confirmed alive. As reported by Reuters, the official, who chose to remain anonymous, said that the U.S. government has seen proof that some of the missionaries are still alive. The 17 missionaries, 16 Americans, and one Canadian are from the Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries. I don't know if you were aware of that or not, but yes, that is a ministry that is based here in Wooster, Ohio. It's Christian Aid Ministry. They were abducted by the gang on October 16th after visiting an orphanage. 5 children who were with the missionaries were also kidnapped. It is now the 24th day of the crisis, and our workers and loved ones are still being held hostage in Haiti. We, along with government officials, continue to work hard to bring them home safely. This is our heartfelt desire, but we want to surrender to God's plan and timing, Christian Aid Ministries said in an update on Monday. I think the most important thing you folks can do is to be in prayer for it. I know that there have been a couple times where the Christian Aid Ministries has been somewhat outspoken about the lack of cooperation they felt they were getting from the Biden administration, but it appears maybe that they are actually getting some aid in trying to secure the release from the Biden administration. So please be in prayer for them, and I am working to get a person from the Christian Aid Ministries to come on this show and give us both an update about what's going on, and also to so you folks can find out more about Christian Aid Ministries and what it is actually that they do and how big they are and where all they go and what all they're doing. You know, it's really kind of interesting because there are literally hundreds of these types of organizations that do send missionaries, they do ministry, they provide health care, provide so many services around the world, and yet you never hear about them. And so it's unfortunate that it takes something like this that to make many of us familiar with this particular ministry, but at least it makes them it puts them in the news so that you can see that they are out there, and it gives you an opportunity to support them. So we want to be in prayer again for those 17 missionaries who have been kidnapped in Haiti. I have another interesting article here. Pastor tackles gunman to the ground, saves congregation during Sunday worship service. On Sunday, and that would be this past Sunday, a Nashville, Tennessee pastor saved his congregation from potential harm after he tackled a man who had approached the altar with a gun in his hand. According to WKRN-TV, Metro Police identified the gunman as 26-year-old Desir Baganda, who had been sitting by the front row at Nashville Light Mission Pentecostal Church. Video from the church showed Baganda walking towards the altar as the church was worshiping. He then told the congregation to get up as he waved a handgun at them. "He wanted to kill. That's what the first thing that came to my mind," said Pastor Ezekiel Nkumo, the man who tackled Baganda. Church choir members, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the man's name, but trust me, it we'll just say a church member served as a translator for Ngambi during the interview. He was standing in the front of almost everyone. No one was behind him yet, so he could have done almost anything. Right before the incident turned deadly, Nkumani pretended to leave the sanctuary, walking behind Baganda towards the back door. Instead of leaving, however, he turned around, charged at the gunman, tackling him to the ground. As Baganda was on the floor, fellow church members disarmed him. So that was it had a very happy ending to it. Unfortunately, we've seen several church shootings over the years. I think the most recent one was in Texas. We've seen several church shootings in the year, but that one had a happy ending. Thankfully, the pastor acted quickly. Okay. This is also a related story to the first one in Haiti. That was the first story was about the missionaries who'd been kidnapped there. U.S. State Department urges Americans in Haiti to leave the country amid rising violence. The U.S. State Department is encouraging all Americans in Haiti to depart now as violence continues to rise in the Caribbean nation. The announcement comes as 17 missionaries, including 16 Americans, are still being held hostage by a local gang that is demanding a $17 million ransom for their release. The Department of State urges the U.S. citizens to make plans to depart Haiti now via commercial means. U.S. citizens should carefully consider the risks of traveling to or remaining in Haiti in light of the current security situation in infrastructure challenges, a statement from the U.S. Embassy in Haiti said. The announcement was released. Widespread fuel shortages may limit essential services in any emergency, including access to bank, money transfers, urgent medical care, internet and telecommunications, and public and private transportation. So they have big problems in Haiti, and it's unfortunate because that's a country that has for years and years seen a lot of unrest, and apparently the situation isn't getting any better soon. I don't know if you even heard this one. I had not heard this. Seems to have not made the news here. But some rebels seized the U.S. embassy in Yemen. Now, there has been fighting going on for many years in Yemen, and we have had a presence there, a small presence, but we have had a presence there, and there's been a lot of debate about what we should do about Yemen. But on Wednesday, Houthi rebels reportedly stormed the U.S. embassy, seizing it and taking employees as hostages. I don't know how I missed this one. But I did. According to the National Review, Yemen has been fighting the Houthis in a brutal civil war for the last 7 years. The war is also sometimes called a proxy war because the Houthis are backed and funded and armed by the Iranian government, while the Yemeni government is being supported in by Saudi Arabia. The war began in 2014. The Houthis stormed the compound on Wednesday and demanded large quantities of equipment and materials, the Middle East Media Research Institute reports. A State Department spokesman told the Free Beacon that the U.S. has been unceasing in its diplomatic efforts to secure the hostages' release. The majority of the detained have been released, but the Houthis continue to detain additional Yemeni employees of the embassy. 1 month after President Joe Biden took office, he pulled all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales, says the National Review. The U.S. had previously been supporting the Yemeni government. Biden also revoked the foreign terrorist organization label that was previously placed on the Houthis by the Trump administration. According to the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, Biden's decision was a recognition of the dire humanitarian situation in Yemen. So I'm not going to get into political the political aspects of, you know, who did what and all that. But you can see actions have consequences. And here again, I think we should be praying for the release of all the hostages that were taken in that embassy takeover. Okay. Let's see. I had another one here that I wanted to share with you. Oh, yes, this was very interesting. 75% of millennials say they lack purpose in life, a survey finds. According to a new survey in the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, 3/4 of millennials said they are struggling to find direction in life. In the survey titled Millennials Establish Their Need for Purpose and Lifestyle Changes, millennials, and by the way, that's the age 18 to 36. Millennials were the generation most likely to question their place in life. While 22% of millennials contend that life is sacred, half of the generation, 50%, assert that life is what you make it. There is no absolute value associated with human life. Now stop and think about that. 50% assert that life is what you make it. There is no absolute value associated with human life. 32% of people from older generations also hold that same view. The report also found that millennials were only moderately satisfied in most areas of life, such as their personal health, spiritual life, career, relationships, finances, and the nation. Regarding overall life satisfaction, 66% said they were satisfied, 29% said they were very satisfied, and 30% said they were somewhat satisfied. However, 1/3 of the respondents said they were either not too satisfied or they were unsatisfied. When asked about life improvements, just 5% said they believe their life is great without the need for major changes. The survey found that millennials most desire to change their financial situation, with 37% looking for financial ease or comfort, 17% looking for a better paying job, and 15% hoping to have less debt to repay. Nearly 3 in 10 millennials reported wanting deeper friendships, and 10% reported wanting a better relationship with their spouse or significant other. Additionally, 13% said that they desire for there to be less discrimination based on someone's race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation. 12% of the same group desire inclusion in communities that know, appreciate, and respect them for who they are. Regarding of spiritual matters, 14% of millennials noted wanting to have a better relationship with God. Dr. George Barna, who authorized the survey, noted that many millennials have failed to find purpose in life because they have self-centered worldviews. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that is stated in this survey. That noted many millennials have failed to find purpose in life because they hold self-centered worldviews. When the world revolves around you, when you have a self-centered view of things, you're going to fail to find purpose in life. Millennials have largely bought into worldviews that teach life is about me, the veteran researcher explained. Life is not about us, and purpose is not buried within us, he continued. Life is about knowing, loving, and serving a gracious and mighty forgiving and supportive creator. Absolutely. So I thought that was very interesting, and I thought that was very interesting. You might find that interesting. And I think it's something that we as a church need to do a better job. You know, some of the lowest participation numbers are that age group, the 18 to 36. And they're not really involved in church. And unfortunately, many of them did grow up in a church. But it's a large percentage of children that grow up in a church. When they turn 18, 19, 20, 21, they turn away from the church. I think that's somewhat natural. I think, you know, at just this, the changes you're going through in life. But I also think part of it too is they didn't have a strong connection to the church, and therefore it's easy for them to walk away. And that's the failing of many churches, I do believe, in not properly bringing the children up. So, very interesting article there, and I'll keep you updated when we find out more. Well, my guest is here. I'm going to give him a minute or two to get his coat off and grab his cup of coffee and sit down at the chair. Oh, you didn't bring your coffee. Supposed to be. So I'll let you put those headphones on, and good morning, Barry.
Good morning there, Brother Craig. How are you?
Very good. Folks, I have with me this morning Barry Hensley. He's a member of Shining Light Baptist Church, which is the church that I myself call home. But I wanted to bring Barry in. A lot of exciting things are happening at the church. And we've got things that are going to be happening in the future. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to share with you folks the things that are going on at the church. And I'd just like to make a note that Shining Light Baptist Church, it's on where the intersection of Mount Vernon Avenue and Church, they kind of come together there, and it's a triangle. And that's Shining Light Baptist Church, I'm sure. Most of you are probably familiar with it, at least having seen it when you drive by. We would love to have you join us there if you are looking for a church. We'd love to have you there. But anyway, I'm going to let Barry do most of the talking this morning. So let's start off with, tell me, there's some exciting news. What's going on, like with some baptisms and people professing the faith and stuff like that. So what's been happening at Shining Light?
I get goosebumps when I think about it, Brother Craig, and that's not just just something to make people think that it's not exciting, you know, try to make something out of that it's not. It is exciting because I know the scripture tells us, you know, God blesses us because he loves us. And even more, I can see that he blesses us when he finds us faithful. So through some of the rough times over the last couple of years where attendance was down because of what we have been going through, we still kept on the things that we were doing at the church on Wednesday evenings and our community dinners and things of that nature. We kept it up. We didn't stop because we didn't want to, and the Lord didn't tell us to. So we kept moving right along. Yeah, there is a lot of exciting things going on. We've over the last 3 months, after this month, we will have, I think, 11 or 12 baptisms. So there was 11 or 12 folks that gave their heart to the Lord sincerely because of their faithfulness coming back each week. They just didn't want the fireproof insurance. They wanted the relationship with Christ and to profess it by what baptism truly means, a public profession of faith, dying to the old self and becoming a new man or woman, you know, when raised up out of the water, that our sins are washed by his blood. And that's always exciting, even if one just gives his life to the Lord. But we have been so excited about the ones that have came forward just through invitations to the church. Hey, don't know where you're at spiritually, but we would just love to come and have you be with us on a Sunday. No strings attached. So the 21st of this month is when the other baptisms, which will take place, of the folks that profess their faith and accept Christ as their personal Savior. So we're going to have a wonderful time of praise music that night, which is the 21st.
That's next week.
Yes.
Next Sunday.
Yes, sir. So we'll have dinner. We'll have the baptisms, have dinner. And then for about an hour or so, we'll be up in the sanctuary singing praise music. We call it canned music because we sing to tracks on this one. We do have a praise and worship band. But, you know, we did that when we first started the church because people love to sing along to the radio. And they'll just belt their heart out. So that's how we started our praise and worship time, is that we're singing to the tracks. So that'll be doing. We'll have a song list put together so you can listen to them on YouTube if you want, or your music to be familiar with them so you can sing along with us when that time happens. But that's one of the things that's happened at the church this month.
Cool.
It's amazing. Cool. It really is.
Now you mentioned that during COVID that mm-hmm. you kept up what you were doing on Wednesday night and your community dinners. So tell our listeners, what are you doing on Wednesday night, and how does the community dinners work?
Okay, on Wednesday evening, we have prayer service. We all need a recharge during the middle of the week, I feel. And that's the way that we build our prayer service in. Starts at 6:30. Everyone is welcome, no matter if you have a home church or not. If you just need, if they don't offer something, you're still able to come to worship with us on that time.
And I think that's a very good point. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, you're fine.
But I think that's a very good point because a lot of churches have gone away from having Wednesday night, whether it's Bible study or, you know, prayer meeting, and there's nothing available on Wednesday night. So, again, as Barry said, you know, even if you have a home church, you're more than welcome to come by on Wednesday night.
Yes, sir. It's open to everyone. Even if you don't have a church and you're just wondering, what does God's word say? Well, we have a devotion. It starts about 6:30. We have some coffee and refreshments and stuff just for fellowship time. Starts at 7. We go over prayer lists that the church has for our members and folks that have either called them in or written in. So we put them on the prayer list. We go through those, have our devotion, and then any new requests that we may have, we put them on. And we pray, and then we end up about 8 o'clock, and we're good. Now, the community dinners. We open up our doors to break bread with anybody who's hungry. They're on the 1st, the 2nd, and the 4th Friday of every month. Now, on there's times where there's 5 Fridays. We have it on the 1st, the 2nd, the 4th, and the 5th. Dinner is at 6 o'clock till whenever everybody gets ready to leave. And we're usually done right around 7 o'clock. But during this time of weather, what we tell folks is that if you're walking or riding a bike or however, to try to stay out of the elements, because we open up the doors at a quarter till. So try to, if you're walking or riding your bike or however, time your arrival by 6:15. We open up the doors. You can come down and get warm a little bit during this time. We have a devotion before we eat, because not only do we want to feed you physically, we got to feed you spiritually. That is one of the purposes of the church. So we have wonderful ladies that take a lot of care and a lot of pride in what we make. So it's all good, and I guarantee you that. So we have food and fellowship time at that. And then after everybody's done, we end up cleaning things up, and then we all head home.
Okay.
And we never stopped during the COVID time. What we did is we had to-go dinners, so folks could still have an opportunity to eat.
So when you weren't gathering, they could still get something to go.
Yep. And if that comes, which we pray that the Lord stops it, if it ever comes to that point again, we will still continue to cook and go through the to-go meals.
What are some of the things that go on else at the church that are also on a regular basis? Men's breakfast, Bible studies, any of those things. What do you have on a regular basis?
Bless your heart. Yes, on a regular basis. And the reason why we put them as a regular basis, because we need time with brothers and sisters in Christ, just not on Sunday. We need to get that rechargeable time from the folks that we have like-minded faith, you know, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second Saturday of every month, we have men's and women's breakfast. And again, if you don't have anything that your church does for that, and some folks do, some folks don't, again, you're welcome to come with us. The guys, we meet out to Marion Diner at 8:30. The women usually meet at, all the time, at Bob Evans. And from my understanding, I know that we have a good time. From my understanding, the women have a wonderful time. So you are welcome to that as well. Every month, that doesn't change. And you're going to have to forgive me. What else did you say? Oh, as far as the Bible study.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. We have a winter Bible study. And it starts in, January, if I'm not mistaken. Does it say January? Where's my notes? No.
It starts December 5th.
December 5th. Thank you. That's my wife. She's the one that keeps me straight.
Yes, she does.
December 5th. And when does that take place? It takes place right after church service, right around 12:30. Lunch is always provided, and that usually lasts for about a half hour. Then we get started right around 1, and the Bible study will last till 2 o'clock. Again, if you're looking for something that your heart is missing, if you don't have a home church at all, come and be with us. And Brother Craig, you and I had talked about this before. There's no strings attached. We won't be knocking down your door, wondering where you're at if you're not there the next time. Sharing the gospel is always a wonderful invitation to share. Nobody has to come and force it on you, because that isn't how it works.
Let me interrupt you again.
Oh, go ahead.
And I just want to speak from personal experience here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've only been attending there, it's going to be about a year. As a matter of fact, it'll be a year in February. But I can speak from personal experience, and two things that I know. When I first started going there, it's a very warm and very welcoming church. And the second thing is, I can also verify what Barry said, is they don't put any pressure on you. If you're not there for a couple weeks, they'll ask you if everything was okay, because they missed you. But there's never any pressure put upon you. And
amen.
It's a very welcoming church, very yeah. welcoming. So, go ahead.
Well, and the things that are coming up
yes.
For December.
What do you have? Before that,
okay.
Let me just ask you real quick. Is there sure. anything special going to be done for Thanksgiving?
What we do is, we'll have the meal afterwards. The community dinner will still be going on that Friday. As far as having something on Thanksgiving, we do not.
Okay.
That gives everybody an opportunity to be with their families. Even though our church family is important, and the folks outside of the church that's not part of our family, who we still consider loved ones that we don't even know yet, we will still offer a dinner Friday following that. So if nobody had a chance to have dinner with anybody, which I know there are folks out there that don't have family, and that can be a lonely day.
Mm-hmm.
Come and be with us on that Friday at 6 o'clock, and hopefully we can fill a little bit of that void for folks that have a desire to be with somebody.
All right, now I'll let you speak about December.
Okay. This coming December, which is a great time, we have a concert on the 4th, and it'll be downstairs in the Fellowship Hall, and it starts at 6:30, and it'll be till 9. Now, what that is outside of the praise and worship band that I participate in, two other members of the church, we have a contemporary gospel rock group called Under the Blood. Some folks may have seen us at the Popcorn Festival or maybe visited our Facebook page. But we're going to have another group with us that is from Marion to just kind of rock out for the Lord. Our messages are, it's all original music, and our message is all about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I know that you will be able to understand what we say and when we sing and when we play. So come and be with us at that time. It'll be downstairs, and we're going to have a fun time, I'm just telling you. So be prepared. It's something that's not going to shake the walls apart. What we want is to shake your heart with the message that we have, to break down walls that you may have, that anybody may have. So if you haven't heard of us or heard our music, it's an invitation for you to come and see what God has placed on our hearts about 4 years ago to put together. So that's the 4th. So we have things moving. It's not, Brother Craig, we don't just fill up a list to be busy. Mission-minded church. So everything that we feel that the Lord is leading us to do is based on sharing the gospel to the best of our ability, so people can see just how good of God we serve, and that it's just, God isn't just for a select few. God is for everyone that will listen.
I think I might say at this point that I think when you look total at all the things that are going on in the church, that it covers all aspects of a person's spiritual life. You have things for the purpose of fellowship.
Amen.
You have things for the purpose of ministry.
Amen.
You have things that are really about spiritual growth,
yes,
whether it be the Bible study. So there's it's a church that has things happening that addresses all aspect of your whole life.
Amen.
Your spiritual life. You know, churches can become rather heavy in having fellowship activities. And it's all about fellowship,
yep,
and getting together. But you don't neglect the spiritual aspects of it. The, as you mentioned, the spreading the gospel of it. Yet the Bible study is also like very in-depth Bible study.
Amen.
So you have the, you know, the times when the gospel message is being presented. There are times for developing the deeper walk with Christ. And there are times to just get together with brothers and sisters. So that, I think, is a strong point of the church itself. So I'll shut up and let you carry on.
No, you're fine. When you said the deeper spiritual walk, sometimes when events are put together, they can be very very lighthearted. You know, what do you have going on? This. But if there's no growth involved and there's no anchoring your faith even deeper, well, then it really doesn't serve a purpose of what God called us to do. Yes, the fellowship time needs to be there. There's no doubt. But the reasoning and the reasoning behind it, and the caring and the putting together of it sincerely, according to be able to share God's word for you and I to grow, because no matter how long you've been in the faith, we still grow, is important. If that's thrown out, then it's just having a fun time with folks, and that's it. There's, if it doesn't benefit you for the glory of God in my heart, then why have it?
Amen.
So I'm not taking, not trying to make offense of folks that have a lot of fellowship things together. Amen, amen. That's good. But the meat has to be with the potatoes.
Amen. All right. What else is on your list?
Oh, my gosh. After December 4th, we have a new beginners class that'll be starting, I think that's in January. I'm going to kind of hop around a little bit. It's in December, too, starting the 5th. Man, my dates are, there we go. It's right there underneath. Yep. Now, what is the new believers class? What is the new believers class? Our studies will teach you why you believe what you believe when it comes to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and why we believe that, all the proof that is there, and how you apply that proof to the way that you live your life, and how to share it. That's the main thing. If you know why you believe what you believe, you will not be afraid when somebody asks you, well, why do you believe that stuff? And then my question is, what do you mean, what stuff? Why do you believe about all that Jesus stuff and the church stuff? Well, if you're really interested, no, you give me a minute of your time and I'll share it. Okay, so information is given so we can learn together on how to do that and the importance of it. So you have, I always say, you have proof in the pudding. So if you have that, your confidence grows, your faith grows, the ability to share grows, and the more people you can reach. I would love to see everyone come to Christ that I would ever share the gospel with. I would really, truly love to see that happen. Will it happen? That's in God's, that's up to the Lord. All I know is that I'm called to share it. So that starts at 10 o'clock. And then after that, you can move right into the worship service and continue the wonderful time in the Lord there. So we have that. We have some Christmas caroling and praise music going on the 19th. That starts at 4 p.m. So there's another time to sing his praises and to really understand why we celebrate the Christmas season. And another time, if you don't have that anywhere, and the invitation is always there, an invite. The 31st of December, what we're going to do is we're going to pray in the new year at 7 o'clock. We've done it, I think my wonderful wife is here. She's shaking her head, yes. We've done that ever since the beginning of the church. It gives a very good perspective on what to expect the following year if Christ doesn't return that
now,
night.
Now, how long does that last? You said 7 o'clock and...
It's right around about an hour. Okay. We understand the 31st, folks have other obligations and other things that may be going on them, so we still want to get together, but also know that there's family time involved. So 7 o'clock till probably about 8. It's just an amazing time. Now, the Christmas Eve, we have a candlelight service, and if I'm not mistaken on that, that starts at 6. But what the good thing is that all the events that we talked about and the dates is that you can go to Marion.org. SLBC. I'm saying the name in my head.
Is it Shining F? Yeah. Light L. Bat B.
Yeah. Shining Light Baptist Church, which is slbcmarion.org. And when you go there, these things will be on the website. Again, it's an open invitation. The only way that you get an opportunity to participate, and we said this morning, is to be active. So come and be with us. One thing that we're going to start in January, which we started 3 years ago, and if you don't mind me to bring this up, we started a blanket ministry.
Well, yeah, I wanted you to bring that up.
Yeah, amen. Somebody goes, so what is it? What we did is we started 3 years ago is for the first responders. When people, when the first responders head to a situation that they have to be called to, whether it be a house fire or whatever it would be, to where they would need to be called. A lot of times it seems in this type of weather, bad weather. And we wanted to be a part of helping somehow, so we started the blanket ministry. The first year that we did it, we had donations of 5 blankets, and they were new blankets, either in the package or wrapped, however they are. They don't have to be expensive blankets or whatever, just a blanket. And the big, like the king, queen size blankets that you would put on a bed or whatever, that's where they can give it to the folks that may need it in this time that may not have had to rush out of their home for whatever reason with no coat or anything, and they may have children. So over last year, we were able to supply blankets for 9 different fire stations and first responder stations. First year, we gave out 5 blankets. Second year, we gave out 20 blankets. Third year, we gave out 84 blankets. And with that, we gave 54 pairs of socks out and 60 stuffed animals for the children, a way to comfort, a way for us to be able to help give comfort that the first responders bring. Initially, we wanted to be a part of that a little bit. They don't have to tell them where it came from because we're not in the business of that. It's just that if we are able to help in any way to show Christ-like love, sincere, that's the key, sincere Christ-like love, that we want to be a part of that. So we're going to do that again this year.
Awesome.
You can drop them. Like I said, you don't even have to be a part of the church. If you want to be take part in that, get a hold of us somehow, and we will be able to get the blankets. If you bring blankets or socks or whatever, we'll make sure that they get to the right place.
You can get a hold of them at the church.
Yes.
Or you can also, they could contact me through my website, studyhiswordradio.org, and I'll be happy to direct them. What's that?
We're on Facebook, Shining Light.
They're on Facebook. Shining Light Baptist Church is on Facebook. So it's easy to get a hold of them. So, you're more than welcome to, even if you're not part of the church, we welcome all things. So what else you got on your list?
You know, that's a lot. I think they're on a side note. We do a lot of mission work.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, so go ahead.
Yeah, we help feed and clothe two orphanages in Haiti.
We were talking about Haiti just before you got here.
Yes.
It's a very serious situation in Haiti. You know, the country has gone through, over the years, a lot of turmoil.
But yes,
it's especially bad right now. And I was talking before you got here about their 17 missionaries that were kidnapped a month ago. And by the way, those missionaries were from an organization right here in Ohio, headquartered in Wooster, Ohio. And, you know, State Department's working on getting them released. But it's a very dangerous place to be right now.
Yes.
So we all should pray for anybody that's doing ministry in Haiti. But go ahead.
I agree. I didn't want to take the just say, hey, get a hold of Craig too. I was going to ask if that'd be all right, since they've got since they have a good relationship with you here at the radio station and your listeners, your followers. So if they wanted to get in touch with you, I just didn't want to take the liberty of doing that. Hey, man, blow Craig's phone up. But anyway, thank you for offering that. That's another avenue. Yes, the best thing, when we first start talking about missions, they go, okay, so it's a money thing, how much money, it's always about money, it's about money. No, the first thing that we ask about and ask for is prayer.
Number one.
Earnest, fervent prayer for the safety and the continuing of their work there, that God's work would be done. These folks have a heart for everyone that is lost, besides the children, which is their biggest concern because of all the ones that are left out in the street, the children that are left out in the street to fend for themselves at ages that would just boggle your mind. The missionary work over there takes these folks in, and it just doesn't feed them. They feed them spiritually. That is the number one thing that they want to know. Let them know that they are loved by somebody that they haven't met yet, but that they can't wait to meet through the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus. And then the other parts come along with feeding them and clothing them and getting them schooling. So it's a major work, and we were blessed with the ability to be able to help in some way, some small way. And the reason why I say small is because we're not on that front line. The front line that we have here is the prayer given and also the things that we're able to give as far as the funds to help help feed them.
Right.
And then Sean Higgins is a gentleman right from here in Marion, Ohio, that is down on another mission field that can be super tough.
College campus.
There you go.
Yep.
And it's in North Carolina. He's in North Carolina. And from my understanding, he is doing very well.
Good.
First of all, because of the Holy Spirit directing him and leading him, guiding him, and he's following the Holy Spirit and his calling. And the one is the prayers that are being sent to every week. And then we supply him with X amount of dollars per month so he can have a livelihood. And I know that he also has to be in the workplace, so he'll probably look, if he's not already doing it, some type of part-time work that doesn't take away from his work on the college campus and the Bible studies and things, that the outreach that he's doing, but also so he can show that he can be also self-sufficient to maintain his family, and that so he's a hard worker. And what I mean by that is that he works hard because he wants to, and the effort he puts in is because he wants to, not because he has to. And that's what's making his ministry work there.
And I had the privilege of interviewing Sean.
Yeah, hey,
back
man.
On May 2nd. So no, he's a good guy. Well, and we've got just a couple minutes left. So in that closing couple minutes, if I'm somebody who just walks in off the street on Sunday morning, I want to just visit Shining Light Baptist Church, and I want to look around, what can I expect to happen on a typical Sunday morning?
When you walk in, you'll probably be met by some wonderful folks at the front door with a handshake. And then also, if you need some hand sanitizer, we got that too. So a handshake and hand sanitizer, but also a sincere welcome. if you need to know where things are at as far as the restroom, or you know, where would you like me to sit? Well, we don't have assigned seats like we did in middle school and also in elementary school. You can sit wherever you feel comfortable. And if you need somebody to walk you to a place in the pews, we can do that too. You'll hear the announcements that's going on with the church. So there's a reference there on what is going on. Again, you'll receive a bulletin, so you have some information. There's a visitor's card that you'll receive as a record of our visit. You're more than welcome to fill that out with the information there, and if you don't want to, that's fine too. But we would like to have a record of your visit, and that way, if we would ask, would you like us to get in contact with you for any reason or whatever, is there something, you know, you can say either yes or no, and there's no meaning behind it. We are just offering that if you need a call for prayer or something like that during the week, we have your sole permission to maybe use that number as a contact for everybody to know that, hey, this is Pastor Carr, or this is Craig Heilman, or Mrs. Hensley or Barry Hensley, just calling to say thank you so much for your visit, and thank you for being there. Is there anything that we can pray for you if there's something? If not, may the Lord bless you, and hopefully, if it's God's will, we'll see you again.
Okay.
Then the music, then the message, and then we're usually out of there by 20 after 12, I think.
Okay. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. So, again, the Sunday school or Bible study begins at 10.
Yes.
And worship is at 11.
Yes.
You guys are at the intersection of Mount Vernon Avenue and East Church.
The Point.
At the Point. That's right. At the Point. And, folks, you're more than welcome to come. Love to have you. Again, website, studyhiswordradio.org. And until next week, have a good week. I'll see you next Sunday.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before.